This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
With you until 5 a.m., am I? Rami Makhlouf here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. You got Tyler Fahrenthal on the other side of the glass. Special co-host Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in that co-host chair. And you guys all morning long at 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. You probably can't sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I was just at home not doing this show. I wouldn't be able to sleep after watching them lose that game the way that they lost that game. So if you need to get it off your chest so you can sleep just a little bit more peacefully tonight, we're the show for you at 312-644-6767. First of many shows on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Of course, Mully and Haw coming up at 6 a.m. They'll be joined by Brad Biggs at 6:40, immediately followed by Olin Kreutz at 7 and DJ Moore at 8. So get in, react, 312-644-6767 to a absolutely heartbreaking loss. If you're just tuning in, I decided in the last segment after hearing Matt Eberflus speak, I think I'm done with that dude.
For the third time,
yeah. Mid-season last year, I was done with him. After the year when they decided to move on from Justin Fields and used a number one pick on a quarterback, I said, you know what, let's get a clean slate and let's get an offensive mind in there to work with this guy. They didn't do that. I went, all right, I'll give him a clean slate and I'll just give him a chance this year. And I think I'm done, dude. I think I'm done. After hearing the way he answered some of the questions about some of the things that went wrong in this game tonight. Again, don't tell me how resilient you are, how you battled back. You shouldn't have been in that position in the first place to battle back. Don't tell me you're looking for answers during a game when your offense has the same problem that it's had all season long, which is that you can't get going out of the gates. You got shut out in the first half, punted on your opening drive for the fourth game in a row, had 0 points at halftime. Caleb Williams had 33 yards passing at halftime, 36 by the end of the third quarter. You were outgained 267-90 in a half of football. This is the same crap. Don't come in here and tell me you're looking for answers while the game is going on. Find the answers before the game. Mm-hmm. Stop this. The play before the Hail Mary, you're defending for a touchdown? What? What kind of arm do you think Jaden Daniels has that he could throw a Hail Mary from where they are? You're defending the sidelines and making them have to throw to the middle of the field there. Because they're trying to move closer so they can throw the Hail Mary. And then telling me extra pressure was an option. No. Oh, thanks. Thanks for telling me that was an option. I didn't know you could rush 4 or 5 and not give a guy 15 damn seconds to throw a Hail Mary. I had no idea.
You know, Rami, for the last week or two, and anytime there's been a close game, people have discussed the Hail Mary. And the topic is how many people to rush. And everybody, the consensus is the need to start rushing more people. I guess they weren't listening.
Text from the 224. Two texts, actually, because he couldn't believe it. You had a bye week, 4 exclamation points. He follows that up with, you come off your bye week, you come out flat again. The OC is straight trash. Yeah, man, that's the most disheartening thing about this loss and the way that you lost and the fact that we saw the same problems that we saw earlier in the season or have seen all season. When you talk about the penalties, the pre and post snap penalties, when you talk about the slow starts that I just went through, like to come out of a bye week and still have all this stuff be a problem, be your Achilles heel and the thing that's holding you back from winning football games is not a product of this being in the early stages of whatever they're building. That's just guys not doing their job well. Mm-hmm. And when I say guys, I'm talking about Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron for the most part when it comes to this football game. You're just not doing your job well. This isn't a case of, well, it's just going to take time before Matt Eberflus figures out how to be an NFL head coach, before Shane Waldron isn't making terrible play calls on third and short and fourth and short. These aren't issues of development that I need to be patient for.
You know, in retrospect, I kind of wish the game hadn't been bumped to the national television.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Dan, I had the same thought, that thing in the back of my mind where, oh no, are these going to be the same old Bears that always do not show up when the lights are the brightest?
I forget who it was.
And they didn't.
Oh, athletic writer. He's from Chicago. Robert Mays. He said, and I'm paraphrasing it, he tweeted it. You can go and find the exact wording of the tweet. But he said, whenever the Bears are on national TV, I feel like I'm going to a party with a family member and just hoping that they don't embarrass me.
Yes.
That's the exact feeling that I have when the Bears are on national TV. And you know what? I, for some reason, and I've done this to myself a couple of times this year. In the preseason, when Caleb Williams made a couple of jaw-dropping plays, I let myself get caught up in the hype and maybe got a little ahead of myself. And for some reason, coming into this game, and when I heard Jaden Daniels was going to play, and you were riding the two wins and five touchdowns from the offense, mm-hmm. for some reason, I fooled myself into not having that feeling coming into this game of, oh, just don't embarrass me. You know what I mean? I came into this game legitimately excited. Yeah. Like, oh, this is the first measuring stick for this football team. And I got excited that they were going to come out and actually do something. And then they reminded us all who they are and who they're coached by. Yeah. That's what happened tonight. We all got excited. Ooh, they flexed it. Oh, it's Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. Ooh, we're 4-2. We're riding a 3-game win streak. Our offense is actually scoring touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Only for them to go in and be the same old Bears.
You know, I always look forward to Sundays when the Chicago Tribune sports writers, the three of them, will give their picks for the week. And Dan Wiederer, for the first time, who's on the score all the time, for the first time, he goes, you know what? I think I really see a difference now. And all three of them picked the Bears by 4 to 6 points. And even Dan Wiederer says, yeah, I'm converted. Well, now what's going to happen after that game?
Yeah, I'm right back to where I was to start this season, mm-hmm. which is like, okay, what is this? You know what I mean? What exactly, what's the plan?
Yeah.
And how are they taking steps forward? Again, I threw this question out there earlier in the show, and I'll throw it out again because I really need somebody to tell me this. How is this offense better than what it has been recently? How is this offense better than what it was under Nagy Trubisky? How is this offense better than what it was under Getsy and Fields? Somebody tell me. For all the moves that they made, for the number one pick and for the new offensive coordinator and all the new weapons, how is this any better? As a matter of fact, when they took the lead tonight and they had the win, they had it in their hands before it was snatched out by that Hail Mary, and I was thinking they're going to win this game. Like I've said throughout the morning, I was going to come in here pissed off either way based on the way that they performed.
Me too.
It felt like 2018. It felt, even if they won this game, it would feel like what we saw in 2018, which was fool's gold. Which was a really good defense that could keep you in games and an offense that was just sputtering along and could occasionally do just enough for you to win a football game and fool us all and convince us that you're a good football team. When really you're just a collection of good defensive football players and an organization that can't figure out how to put together a functioning offense.
But if you could get rid of Waldron tomorrow and get the best OC ever, do we have enough people that we could actually be better this year? Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. We're stuck with Waldron for the whole time. And so I'm curious about what's going to happen in the future with these good players that we have, but I have no optimism about that. Curious, no. But no optimism.
From the 224, you fired Lovey at 10-6. This guy is a deer in headlights, doesn't call the red flag. And again, firing Eberflus tonight, I keep doing that. Firing Eberflus today, this morning, you're not going to, you're like, if this season isn't going anywhere, the season's still not going anywhere. You're not going to find your head coach heading into week 9 of the NFL. You're not going to change offensive coordinators heading into week 9 of the NFL. But the fact that we're sitting here today, 8 weeks into the season, wondering if we have a head coach, wondering if we have an offensive coordinator, is not something we should be doing. No. This should not be happening. And another text, again, you had 2 weeks to prepare. Yeah. That's the more I sit here and we sit here and break this thing down, that's what's most discouraging and disheartening about this. No. That you had 2 weeks to do this. You had all that momentum to ride of the 3 straight wins and the 2 great offensive performances, and you had 2 weeks to get ready for this, and that's what you put out there. And it wasn't even like if you lost this game because you missed Kyler Gordon that much, or if you missed this game because you missed because you missed Brisker that much. Okay, that's not what happened. You kept him out of the end zone. You kept him out of the end zone all night. Again, not entirely pleased with how the defense played and the fact that Jaden Daniels was able to march the ball up and down the field on you. You weren't able to force any turnovers, which were desperately needed the way that this game was being played out. But you kept them out of the end zone. You kept them to 12 points for, I don't know, 56 minutes and 46 seconds or whatever it was before that last play ticked off and they scored the Hail Mary. You came out after 2 weeks with the same problems that you had to start the season, and we are 8 weeks into an NFL year.
Yeah, I'm surprised that there wasn't as much pressure as I expected to get to Daniels. I mean, I know he's agile and all that kind of stuff, and Sweat got him the one time, but now I think I heard that maybe Sweat is injured. And that's,
yeah, he got dinged up during the game.
He's been kind of dinged up ever since camp. I don't think he's been 100% healthy most of this year.
Well, you know, Tyler, the explanation by other shows on The Score has been that it's just a matter of, well, they're double teaming him so other people are doing his work. That I think that hides what you're saying, though. I think something's going on there and he's dinged up. It just seems that way.
And I'm not going to come out every time the Bears lost and swing wildly, or a win or a loss, and swing wildly in one direction or another. Right. I'm not saying I want Matt Eberflus fired because they lost this game tonight. I'm not saying that I'm out on him again for a third time because they lost this game tonight. That's not what this is about. This is about 2.5 years now of watching this dude fail in critical game situations. Fail. Of hiring offensive coordinators who don't seem to know how to get this thing right and get it going. This is a long-running problem for the Chicago Bears. We're 8 weeks into Caleb Williams' rookie season. We're not 8 weeks into Matt Eberflus' rookie season. We're not 8 weeks into Ryan Poles' rebuild. We're not 8 weeks into Shane Waldron as a play caller. We're not 8 weeks into these offensive linemen's career. All these people should be performing at a higher level right now than what they are. And they don't deserve my patience or your patience when they lose games the way that they lost tonight. That was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. To do that on the national stage was embarrassing. And I don't know why I'm surprised, because like we just talked about, the Bears embarrass us on the national stage. It's what they do. It's what they've been doing for a long time. We were fooled into thinking this is something different. It's not.
You can't say the word embarrassed without saying the Bears.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what this thing was tonight. Embarrassing. Long text here from the 847. I blame the McCaskies for the Eberflus hire. Poles was told he could hire his own coach, but was strongly urged to choose one of the 3 the McCaskies suggested. Makes you wonder who the other 2 coaches were. I think Eberflus was kept this year because ownership didn't want to pay a coach to go away. Kingsbury should have been hired as offensive coordinator, but I think he was too big a personality and would overshadow Eberflus. It almost seems that Waldron is drawing up plays in the dirt. No rhythm or continuity. They should be fired today, but I guess I'll settle for wait till next year.
How much truth do you think is behind what this texter was saying?
I think the McCaskies McCaskies meddle, and they hired what is his name?
Warren?
No, they hired a consultant to hire Eberflus. absolute dinosaur of an NFL.
Bill Polian.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, you don't, you hire a consultant for a reason, and you're going to put a lot of weight into what that person suggests. So I think Ryan Poles, he is the general manager. He had plenty of say in it. But again, to bring him back this year, I'm not giving Ryan Poles a pass on essentially hiring Matt Eberflus twice. You know, which is because you could have moved on from him after this year. Nobody would have batted an eye. Nobody would have questioned it if you moved on from him after last year. So you essentially made the choice to bring him back, and with Caleb Williams, you made the choice to bring him back and keep him, instill him as your head coach again in what's supposed to be a different era. And this wasn't supposed to be another year of rebuilding, of working towards something. When we had the great debate, when we had the town hall here at the Score about Fields or Williams, one of the arguments for Williams was you reset the contract clock at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you can win with the rookie quarterback. We'll do that then. That's where I'm at with my expectations, is that I want you to win with the rookie quarterback and to put enough around him in terms of players and coaching that when he has rookie moments, when he has rookie days, other people in the organization can pick him up and you can still win football games like you could have tonight. Mm-hmm. If you had come in prepared, which they weren't.
Yeah, you know, Tyler, the McCaskey effect you're talking about, I think it goes towards their love of, I'll say again, the attributes of a high school coach. And, oh, my God, he did so well holding the team together last year. And I guess he did. And we had more victories. Oh, let's give him another chance. That's not professional executive decision making.
No, it's not. The Bears settled for keeping Matt Eberflus. That's what they did. They settled for keeping Matt Eberflus, when honestly, he probably shouldn't have been the guy in the first place to get the job. But you settled to keep him after what you've seen for 2 years. And again, why did we know Justin Fields wasn't good enough, even though he wasn't given anything to work with? But with Matt Eberflus, the question is still a question. That's something that's still hanging in the air because he didn't have a roster that could win his first 2 years as head coach. Well, neither did Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. We had a caller earlier who said, you cut off the tail of the snake but left the head. It's exactly what they did. You left the guy in one of the most important positions within a football organization who had everything to do with you being bad and losing for 2 years. You left him in place. You felt like you needed to make changes, but that wasn't one of them. All right. Okay. And now this is where we are. This is where we are with an offense that really hasn't improved, hasn't taken a big step forward from last year when we all knew it was dysfunctional. From the previous regime when we all knew it was dysfunctional. This isn't better than Nagy Trubisky. I know I just said that. I will repeat it. This isn't better than Nagy Trubisky. This isn't better than Getsy Fields.
Okay, but I'm going to make you upset. But we have a potential to be better.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. I'll sleep peacefully at night on potential after they lost on a Hail Mary tonight and they were able to get 33 yards and a half of football.
So I feel like the theme so far of this show has been, we are not sold on Matt Eberflus being the head coach, right? So if you're 100% content with saying, okay, bye-bye Matt Eberflus, we need to restart a head coach, are you going offensive or defensive? Because do you want someone to go first hand-in-hand with developing your franchise quarterback who you think can break this curse?
Yeah, I wanted an offensive-minded head coach. When they hired Matt Eberflus, I wanted an offensive-minded head coach to give Justin Fields the best chance to succeed and get the most out of him so we could see if we had a franchise quarterback. And yeah, I want to do the same thing now. But earlier in the show, I went through the coaches that were hired in the same year as Matt Eberflus, and they were Mike McDaniel in Miami.
Doug Peterson.
Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian Daboll.
And Brian Daboll of the Giants. And I wanted any one of those three guys before
Matt
Eberflus. First-time
head coaches, are you saying?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My fault.
No, yeah. First-year head coaches that were hired that same year as him. And look at what look at the offenses of Mike McDaniel when he has Tua and Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. Yeah. Kevin O'Connell lost Kirk Cousins this year. He plugged Sam Darnold in there, And that thing is humming right along.
He's a good coach. He is a good coach.
Very good coach.
Yeah, he is. And the Bears decided, nah, we're going to go with Eberflus. And I said this, I was on the score right after Eberflus was hired. And this is pretty dumb. Like, this is meatball at its finest in terms of being a Bears fan. Even the name Eberflus, you know what I mean? Like, you hear a certain name, like you hear Ditka, you hear Cowher, Tomlin. Like, these are names of guys that are going to succeed. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to follow an Eberflus. I'm sorry. I just don't want to. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss character, Eberflus, even the name itself. But I was like, okay, that's dumb, Rami. Don't put a lot of stock into that. And I didn't. Now I've watched him coach for almost 3 years. And guess what? He lived up to the name.
I think it was Matt Spiegel who did the song Edelweiss from Sound of Music for Eberflus.
Eberflus.
Oh, right out of the bat. So you weren't the only one.
There's nothing about the guy that inspires confidence. There really isn't anything about Matt Eberflus that inspires confidence. And that's been, I didn't think I was going to come in here and do this tonight. And then I heard his press conference. The major development on the show tonight is I'm done with Matt Eberflus again. For a third time, I am done with Matt Eberflus after watching the way they performed tonight, coming out of a bye week, and then hearing the answers that he didn't have for us for as to why this thing looks the way that it looked tonight.
So I asked you about the head coach. So if you're willing to move on from Matt Eberflus, you're willing to hire an offensive coach. I'll give him this. It looks like the defense has taken steps forward since he has taken over play calling. What are you doing with this defense when you hire a new offensive coach? Are you putting your 100% trust in this offensive coach to say, I think this guy is the right man for the job? Because the defense is, it's a good unit for sure.
Oh, it is.
They keep them in a lot of games.
Absolutely.
Like this game yesterday.
I would keep somebody in-house. Like, I wouldn't completely go away from Eberflus's defensive staff, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm hiring a different defensive coordinator. Somebody
not Eric Washington.
No, it might be Eric Washington because he has a hand in this thing. So I would keep somebody around who's helping with this defense right now and move on to a different head coach who's going to bring in a different offense.
Now that the personnel is there, I don't think Eberflus has this magic dust or fairy dust that other people didn't have. And if he was gone tomorrow from the defense, I think we can find somebody out there who's going to be just as good as Eberflus to keep the ball rolling on the defense while we have a new offensive head coach.
312-644-6767. If you want to get in on a football Monday, kicking off a football Monday here on 670, the score with Bears overnights. 312-644-6767 after they fall to the Commanders 18-15 on a Hail Mary. Another slow start for the offense. They had 33 yards at the half. The defense giving up yards. Washington able to move the ball up and down the field all day, but kept him out of the end zone until the final play of the game. And obviously a deadly one at that, 18-15 in Washington today. Bears fall to 4-3. I'm Rami Makhlouf, special co-host Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in that co-host chair. Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass. And you guys at 312-644-6767. More of your calls, more of your texts, and we hear from the quarterback, Caleb Williams, coming up next.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Yes, it is, and I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 5 a.m. Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass, special co-host, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in that co-host chair. Dan Burt Durbin with me for the ride this morning, and you can be along for the ride at 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Later today on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on the midday show, Bernstein and Harris welcome Anthony Herron at 11, Mark Schlereth at 12. Dan Wiederer will join the guys at 1 o'clock, just part of a jam-packed Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on The Score after the Bears fall in heartbreaking fashion to the Washington Commanders, 18-15 on a last-second Hail Mary after the offense has a lot of the problems that we've seen the offense have this year, especially slow starts, unable to move the ball in the first half to the tune of 36 yards. They somehow kept it, made it a football game, took a lead late with a Roschon Johnson touchdown, and the Commanders get the ball back with 25 seconds left. They're able to complete a pass to Terry McLaurin on the sidelines, and Matt Eberflus telling us they're defending touchdown there, even though it's nearly an impossible touchdown or Hail Mary from where they were. They were just trying to move into Hail Mary range, and they did, and then the Hail Mary is successful. And an important detail that we can't gloss over, I don't know that we've mentioned it enough here tonight, which is the Tariq Stevenson issue of him celebrating, trash-talking Commanders fans in the corner of the end zone before the ball is snapped, and then he sort of scrambles. And again, we don't know. Matt Eberflus told us they got to go and look at it. We don't know if Tariq Stevenson was supposed to be the guy who's back there to prevent exactly what we saw happen, but sure looked like he was, somebody was out of place, and he was not doing what he should have been doing pre-snap. That much we know.
You know, I spoke earlier about the lack of discipline, and that kind of fits in. Whether it was his responsibility or not, the lack of discipline, I mean, what was it, eight penalties for 60 yards?
And including another personal foul against Tariq Stevenson when he was jawing with one of the Washington offensive linemen and poked him in the eye or through his face mask. I don't know if he got the eye, but pokes him through the face. And the referees are standing right there, dude. They are literally, because he had gotten into it with somebody prior. That player walks away. Mm-hmm. The offensive lineman comes to him drawing. And so the referees are already there to break up the last thing he had. And he does that stupid crap right in front of him. Again, I love Tariq Stevenson. Love his tenacity and what he brings to the table. But you just got to learn how to control that, dude, and play till the last second.
It's even more important, too, I think, because, I mean, everybody knows Jalen Johnson is a dude. He's a dog. He's a clear leader to that secondary. But when you're down your other starting safety in Jaquan Brisker and your nickel quarterback in Kyler Gordon, who are your other two most important players, Tyreek Stevenson is now elevated to that other leader role in the secondary, and that's not a good look seeing him go out and do the stupid stuff like you were mentioning, Rami. Just not a good look at all.
And that comes back to the head coach, who, in case you're just tuning in for the third time, I think I'm done with Matt Eberflus. I think it's a hat trick.
We have crowned that the theme of the show.
third time's a charm. For the third time, yeah. I'm done with that, dude. I was done with them when they were 0-7. After the season, I was like, okay, cool, but let's get a fresh start here. And then they didn't, and I was like, okay, let's give them a chance. And I think that chance is just about up. When you have the same problems week in and week out, I don't have the highest level of confidence that you're going to start solving them now. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jim, who's in downtown. He dialed that number. Now he's on The Score. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I watched two championship seasons. When I was 13-63, again when I was 35-85.
That math adds up.
Yeah. So now I've gone on 75, and I don't think I'll live to see another championship season. I mean, the Bears have a real penchant for losing. And not only that, but think about the teams in their division. They look like they're heads and shoulders above the Bears. I mean, even the Vikings look like they'll kill the Bears. I don't think they can beat the Green Bay or Detroit. So, I mean, I don't know where they're going, really. To tell you the truth, I have no idea where they're going. But I know I'll never live to see them win a championship. I've seen them win two anyway. That's not too bad. I've seen the Sox in two World Series. I've seen the Cubs in one. So, I mean, that's not too bad for Chicago. You got to live to be about 150 to see one. That's all. You guys have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. I hope you get to see one. I hope you get to see one, Jim. I do. Yeah. And I hope we all don't have to live to be 150 to see the next one. But, I mean, again, they have not taken significant steps forward. For me to sit here and say, no, you're crazy, Jim. They're on the path to a Super Bowl. You don't see it? I don't see it either, Jim. I don't see it at this point either. For as good as it looks or looked on paper when they put this whole thing together in terms of adding DJ Moore last season, sort of lucking into Caleb Williams and all the pieces that you got in that trade with Carolina, to going and getting Keenan Allen and getting Rome Odunze and DeAndre Swift. For as good as it looked on paper in terms of tangible progress, things I can put my hands or my eyes on and go, oh yeah, no, that's better than it was. I don't have that. I simply do not have that. And the defense is good, but on the offensive side of the ball, we don't have that thing we can hold on to where we go, oh yeah, no, this thing is getting better. And while, yes, Matt Eberflus is a defensive head coach, he's a head coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's the guy in charge of getting this thing right, and he's not.
You know, actually, you opened my eyes because assuming they were going to win, which is what I was expecting today, most of us were, I was going to make the argument that says, you know, fourth in this division is okay. If you're 10-7 and you're fourth in a really good division, that's progress. But this now I don't think is going to happen. If we're going to finish fourth, it's because we deserve to be fourth and not because we just had better competitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely they deserve to be fourth in this division right now. And quite frankly, when do we pass? Remember Own the North? Remember Ryan Poles' introductory press conference when he said we're going to own the North and never give it back? Do we remember that?
Yeah.
When does that happen?
Yeah.
When does that happen? Because be honest with yourself and look at the Packers and look at the Vikings and look at the Lions especially. But look at those teams, look at the age of those rosters, look at their coaching, and tell me when we pass them.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Are we? Are we, Ryan Poles? When exactly does that start? Seriously, ask yourself that question. When do we realistically pass any one, much less all three of those teams, to own the North and never give it back? I've asked some tough questions tonight. First of all, can you tell me how this is better than it has been under Justin Fields and Matt Nagy, or under Justin Fields and Matt Nagy, or no, Justin Fields
and Luke Getsy.
And Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. And now I'm asking you, like, tell me how and when they pass the teams in this division. And I know these questions paint a bleak picture when you have to ask them and have that real, honest conversation with yourself about your football team for all the expectations and excitement that you had for them. But ask yourself those two questions and answer those questions to yourself honestly and tell me how you feel about this football organization.
So, Tyler, who does the Take Back the North podcast? Is that Weeder or whatever?
Yes, Dan Weeder
and David Hall. Actually, it's Mark Grody now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you know,
Mark
Grody
right.
Now. It is Mark Grody, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I think we should be asking them that question, too.
When does that happen? And how does that happen? Seriously. Like, they all have better head coaches than the Bears. All three of those teams have better head coaches than the Bears. And I don't think we're going to change our opinion on that in the next year. Do you think in a year from now, can you imagine thinking Matt Eberflus is a better head coach than Dan Campbell, or a better head coach than Kevin O'Connell, or a better head coach than Matt LaFleur? I can't.
He's not going to mature in a year.
Well, to your point about the NFC North leading Lions, we saw that culture change really, really go into effect midway in 2022, which was in the middle of his second season. And Rami, to your point, you've been saying it all night. We are well past that in the Matt Eberflus era. Shouldn't we have seen more of that throughout this point? I know they doubled their win total last year, but we're not seeing Detroit took a massive leap in year three under Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. That's not happening this year with Matt Eberflus.
And Detroit is even better this year than they were last year.
Yes.
100%.
And Minnesota is even better this year than they were last year. And 100%. Green Bay is even better this year than they were last year. They took steps forward, and they were already better than you. Now, I'm not going to say that the Bears haven't taken a step forward, but it wasn't hard to take. You had hit rock bottom. You know what I mean? You were going to take a step forward. The point of this thing is to make ground on these teams ahead of you, to eventually catch and pass these teams that are ahead of you in the division. And then we can look at the bigger picture. Like, that's just step one in being a contender. being the best team in your division. That's just step one. Then you look outside the division and you start looking at, you know, the 49ers of the world who have been an NFC power for years. Like that, then you can start to look at some of these other teams outside of the division, other teams in the conference, teams in the AFC that are Super Bowl contenders. Like, we're still so many steps away from being like, oh yeah, we're in the conversation with, you know, the Ravens or the Chiefs or one of these teams that's perennially in the discussion for a Super Bowl contender, or the 49ers. Like, we haven't even cleared step one of we're in the same class as the teams in our division.
Yeah, you know, there was a preseason discussion and hope, not a prediction, that maybe we could be the new Houston with the C.J. Stroud, that we could make that quantum leap. And it was a hope. We were kind of hoping. But after what we saw after 8 games and after today, it's like that's off the table. And so now let's get realistic, like Rami says. Let's just get realistic.
How and when do we pass these teams in the division? How? How and when do we pass these teams? Because I don't necessarily see it happening anytime soon, despite how good I feel about Caleb Williams as a quarterback prospect. Again, you need the right situation for a quarterback to grow and blossom and flourish and reach their full potential. And I don't think right now, as it currently stands, I don't think the Bears are it for Caleb Williams. And we're seeing a guy in a much better situation in Washington flourish in Jaden Daniels. And we saw it today, front row, head to head. He was the better quarterback. That was the better offense. They're further ahead than the Bears are right now. Let's hear from the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams. Not the greatest night. He was 10 of 24, 131 yards, and no touchdowns. Almost led them to a victory. Despite that, here's what he had to say after the Hail Mary and the loss to the Commanders.
How's it going, everybody?
Good. What was the swing of emotions like from when you guys scored to then watching the final?
Yeah, obviously when you have a drive like that, to go down a score, and then they have a Hail Mary like that, you know, it's tough. I believe in, you know, this defense when they go out there and, you know, to have a play like that, covered it pretty well, tipped it back to 85. And so, I'm going to keep believing in them as they believe in us multiple times where we just got stalled, shot ourselves in the foot. And they go out there and, before obviously that last play was 12 points. Let's give them kudos. Obviously it's a heart-wrenching play to have. We practice it. Trust me, we practice it. Sometimes things just don't go your way. It's tough when it's something like that.
You obviously scored a couple touchdowns late in the game, but for the most part, really, really struggled. What did you think was the biggest reason for the offensive struggles throughout the majority of the game?
Yeah, I think that's just, us shooting ourselves in the foot, and that comes from, details and focus in the game throughout the week. That comes from myself. I'm included in that for sure. Definitely, missed a few passes that, don't miss, typically. And so, tough, but very encouraging because we stayed in it. We scored 0 points, and then we come out the second half and stay in it, get some momentum. So it's definitely encouraging, but we definitely have to be better in that, that first half, definitely first quarter.
How was it in the pocket today, especially as you had offensive linemen go down throughout?
Yeah, we did a great job. I got to get the ball out, be better with that. But we did a great job being able to have a few people go down. Obviously, you don't want them to go down, but have a few people go down and then, bring these guys in, make sure you encourage them, say a few words to them, and then go out there and handle business. And that's what they did, handle like grown men.
How do you view this game, this performance offensively and yourself individually after the last 3 weeks, the last three games, things going a lot better, and then this is obviously a step back?
Yeah. I would say kind of same thing I said before. We gotta be better in the first quarter. That starts with me coming out fast. That starts with us coming out fast. We keep getting the ball early on. We got a great defense to help us stay in it, but we got to be better and play complementary football.
What were your emotions like at the start of the game, coming home? I know you tried to tune it out, but you got kids from your high school holding the flag. You got people in the stands.
Yeah, I think I did a pretty good job tuning it out. Emotion-wise, just another football game. Did my best to try and go out there and win the game and win the game at the end, and then come out with the win.
The play to Kramer, the fumble there, obviously that's a play you've worked on in practice. What's your comfort executing that handoff and getting that play to work?
Yeah, comfort level, 100%. Just didn't go that way. We just got to execute, got to be better, got to protect the football. Definitely went over there and made sure Doug was all right. We still had time on the clock. I understand we really want that. Really wanted to get in right there. We still had time on the clock. And Doug was in. Doug was going to be playing for us at left guard. And so, wanted his mind in the right space so we can go down and do what we did and score in a two-minute drive. So, definitely encouraging Doug. He played well when he came in. And I know that mistake is bothering him. But proud of the guys, proud of the guys. And definitely going to keep going.
There was a drive late in the first half. You guys had it down in scoring range, 3rd and 12. As Max Protect kept it tight in the back end, still had some early pressure. You try to step and make a play. Ultimately, y'all end up getting knocked out of field goal range. What was the breakdown, but also any learning point? In terms
yeah, definitely. Of the I know exactly what you're talking about. I got to the sideline, and nobody really said anything to me in this way. I got to the sideline, and I knew we were in field goal range, and I got to be better. I got to get the ball in my hands. I got to throw it out of bounds in that situation, and that's the toughest part about the job is, you want to go out there and make plays and do special things, but you also have to understand that's a play. We get those 3 points and we get some momentum and things like that, get some points on the board. It'll definitely help us in the long run. Definitely help me in the long run. And understanding that situation and being better at it, I'm definitely going to get better at it.
Is it the same with the 3rd and 2 and you slide a half yard short?
Yeah, after I did all the little shenanigans in the backfield and I got vertically, I actually thought I had the first down, looked over and I slid and turned when the dude was coming. I should have just taken the hit and fell forward, but I slid, kind of slid sideways, thought I had it and didn't, and that's definitely another learning. When you're close and things like that, just go get it.
When you see Daniels,
you won a big game in high school. First game back, so losing a Hail Mary.
Yeah, it's funny enough. It happened actually just like that. I threw an out ball and then threw a Hail Mary, and they did the same thing today. So weird, definitely weird. But, keep moving on.
Same end zone or going the other way?
It wasn't actually in the stadium. It was just, in the town of D.C. So, yeah.
At the end, when you see Daniels going side to side, buying time, and then the ball goes up, what are you thinking as the ball takes flight?
I thought it was going to be a little short. Actually, did end up being a little short, but the tip ended up pushing it back. So, believed in my guys. I believe my guys are going to do it again. Forever in that situation, probably will be. These games always come down to one score, and so we're in that situation again. I believe my guys once again, but definitely thought we were going to get it. Emotion wise, that was kind of my emotion. I was still, still believing, still, happy in the moment. And then obviously, he gets tipped and then he catches it, and then obviously frustration because I could have played better. We could have played better on offense throughout the whole game. To put ourselves in better position, and we will.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
There's Caleb Williams after the 18-15 loss to the Commanders tonight on the Hail Mary at the last second. You heard him talking about his emotions as that play happened. The air literally left my body when that, I I'm not even kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Like, it happened, I just and just sat there motionless for like a good 90 seconds praying that a flag would hit the field or something. You know what I mean? But that was my emotion. Like, I think I literally just died for about 90 seconds as a Bears fan before I was resuscitated and made my way to the station. That's just heartbreaking, man. Like, I'm sure we've suffered heartbreaking losses like that, but, and you said this before the show, Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in the co-host chair today. This was not the ramifications of the double doink. It's not a playoff game. It's not a Super Bowl berth on the line, but this was as hard a gut punch as we've had since the double doink as Bears fans.
For me, this was worse than the double doink because we can always criticize kickers because none of us trust kickers to like them. This one, though, is such a basic grade school play. To me, that was more crushing than the double doink.
I can see that. A couple other things that Caleb talked about. He was asked about the reasons for the offensive struggle. He talked about shooting themselves in the foot, not enough attention on details and focus. And he admitted himself that he missed a few passes. And especially early in the game, Tony Romo was pointing it out. There was a few passes that Caleb Williams could have hit. You're counting over. Were you counting passes that he missed?
First half was pretty bad.
Yeah, he had three or four.
Yeah,
he had three or four, and a couple of them were on first downs. He did say, and I went off on Matt Eberflus for saying some similar things in the last hour when we heard his post-game press conference, but this goes back to me saying I have patience for Caleb Williams, I have patience for Roma Dunze and not anybody else in that organization. So when he says it was encouraging that they were able to stay in it, that's a rookie in the end. Like, he hasn't been through the losses that we've all been through. He should be encouraged by this. That's all he knows, that they were able to stay in that game. But I've seen enough of this that I know that this is a replay of things that we've seen before in terms of the offense being ineffective, especially early in games, and their defense keeping them in it, but that not really adding up to a quality NFL team that's going to make some noise in their division and beyond.
I have total confidence in Caleb Williams being our quarterback for the future. After every one of his postgame interviews, I still feel confident he's the right guy. But when Eberflus has his postgame interview, I want to just die.
He talked about the O-line, said they did a great job considering the injuries that they had throughout the game. And you do have to factor that in. They lost Tevin Jenkins for a couple of plays during that game. And there was Braxton Jones went down for a few plays during that game. So you do have to factor that in terms of the pressure that they were able to get on Caleb Williams, that you're piecing this thing along as the game goes along. So I guess I can't be too hard on the offensive line, given that. But that goes back to Ryan Poles and not putting together a quality enough offensive line to protect Caleb Williams and not to have the depth to survive injuries like that. Talked about the emotions of coming home, that he was able to tune it out, and the Kramer handoff on third and one at the 1 yard line. He said 100% comfort level, got to be better, got to execute. He talked about how bad Doug Kramer feels about it. I don't want Caleb Williams to feel bad about that play. I don't want Doug Kramer to feel bad about that play. I want Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron to feel really, really bad about that play.
100%.
That's who needs to feel bad about that play right there. And he admitted you can't take the sack before halftime. Rookie type mistake. He slid too short for a first down. He admitted that and said you can't do that. Another rookie type mistake. For as bad as Caleb Williams was for three plus quarters tonight, again, I'm not going to come down too hard on that kid. I'm here for the growing pains of a Caleb Williams. I'm just over the growing pains of the vast majority of the rest of the people within that organization, including Matt Eberflus.
That 1 yard miss that Caleb admitted to, it was interesting because I thought, God, if he had only gone like head first, he would have gotten it. But then every time thereafter, he did reasonable head first things to make sure that he didn't repeat the mistake That's what I like about Caleb.
Plenty to come on the show on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday Bears overnight. Josh Blackwell was back there for that Hail Mary. We'll hear from him. We'll hear the Washington side of things from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. And we'll hear the reaction from the guys on our Bears postgame show, Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley, after they witnessed that Hail Mary to fall 18-15 to the Washington Commanders. But we still want to hear from you, Bears fans, at 312-644-6767. Give us a call. Drop us a text using that number. And you can join me, Rami Makhlouf, Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass, and our special guest host, Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in that co-host chair. And we'll all be back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.